from Leading Edge Physio in Capilano Rehab, Grant Fedorica joins us in studio again. Grant, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. You know what? I think I could use that package. Maybe they could apply some of that business knowledge to physiotherapy for me. I could sure use the that prognosticator kind of help.
Oh, right. Running your own. Well, yeah, you're a business guy. Yeah. You know, you well, now and you're expanding. We got 6-7 locations now.
Six. There's nobody out there for guys like me.
No, you need somebody like that. So that is that's a really, really good package for the farm guys. And, you know, Ryan and his crew there, they do a fantastic job. And anybody who knows, you know, you want to maximize your crop because that's basically your whole income right there. So it's got to be a good year. Now, maximizing today, I want to talk about, you know, hand and wrist injuries. And I know that, you know, there's so many bones in your hand. It can be very different on which one it is, but strength, like hand strength and wrist strength, is so important to hockey players, right? Yep. Nugent Hopkins coming off a hand injury.
Yep.
We saw him take a snapshot in the first period and it wasn't Nugent Hopkins like. And I talked to him about it afterwards. He says, you know what? Like my hand feels okay. It's just the strength. And he wasn't out that long. So what are some things to do? And can you, I guess, talk about, first of all, the importance of grip strength and maybe how we overlook it?
Yeah. Well, and also it takes a big toll on somebody when they're off of using something for a period of time. I mean, it doesn't take long when you don't use something to lose that strength. Really, bed rest, for example, you start to lose strength within 24 hours of bed rest. So you can imagine if he was immobilized for a little period of time with the wrist, he's going to have lost quite a bit of strength, and it's necessary based on certain injuries to give him a chance to recover. We've talked about that on the show over and over. Oftentimes it's the rush back that makes the problem take longer to get better. And with wrists, even more important. You're right. There's tons of little bones in the wrist. Each one of them has its own unique way of moving. It has its own ligamentous properties for stability. It's got its own muscles acting on them. I mean, it's really, if you were to break down an area, your wrist has the most complex things going on just because of the number of joints there.
Okay.
So, you know, with a wrist injury, strength, it goes, and grip is just one of those areas. So the gross strength of the wrist is actually in the movement forward and backwards. But if you can imagine anytime you lift anything, anytime you grab something to push it, pull it, lift it up, even a cup of coffee, those bones, all those joints need to be stable in order to do it. And in order to be stable, they have to have functioning ligaments and they have to have the strength of the muscles that surround them. So somebody taking a wrist shot, a complex action actually, having an injury, and even if it's not painful, if they've got weakness in their grip, they're not going to be able to get that shot off in the same way that they would have before. So, you know, the importance, you can't overlook it. There's lots of ways to deal with it. I know that's kind of what you were asking about. Early in an injury, it can be something as simple as just gripping, you know, we talk about stress balls, or I actually get patients just to grab a face cloth in their hand and repetitively just squeeze the face cloth, because you can turn a face cloth into as big or as little as you want to, because you really need to be working on the strength of your grip in all of the different areas. You can't just grab something big and squeeze it, because then it won't be able to grab something small. Muscles have a property called specificity, meaning basically if you strengthen them in one area, that's as strong as they're going to be. So if we're talking about the elbow for a second, just for so people can understand that are listening, if you only strengthen the elbow from when your elbow is straight to like 90 degrees, that's where it will be strong. But if you never strengthen it from 90 degrees the rest of the way, just because you're strong out there, what we call outer range, doesn't mean that you'll be strong in the inner range, because you have to strengthen those muscle fibers through their entire range of motion.
Okay.
Grip is the same thing. So if you've got some weakness in around your grip, or with your grip strength, grabbing, like I said, a face cloth and using it in different ways, piled up and really big, or really small and gripping it like that as well.
Do most of us miss that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, that's the first time. Like, I knew.
Absolutely.
So you got one of those machines for grip strength,
yeah,
right?
Dynamometer, Jamar.
You just grab it and you're like, okay, look, but that's really only doing one certain motion.
So that's a perfect example, actually. That Jamar, it's called a dynamometer. And what it does is it actually has the ability to take that handle off and measure at different points of your range
I've
of motion.
Never changed it.
And that's right. And you can even, measuring it from the outer grip to the inner grip, you'll see a change with the maximum amount of grip right in the middle. And we can measure what's called a bell curve. So that's a perfect example of why a wrist needs to be strong, or your grip needs to be strong. Now, the other thing people don't understand is most of your strength from your wrist is actually in muscles of your forearm. just as much as in your hand. You do have grip in your hand for the movement of just the small movement of the fingers, but a lot of the grip strength comes from muscles that sit in your forearm. That's why somebody who has tennis elbow or golfer's elbow will have weakness in their grip, because they're getting pain. That's inhibiting the ability for those muscles to work when they're trying to grab something. And so somebody who's got tennis elbow will have trouble lifting a cup of coffee. And we're talking literally something as light as a cup of coffee, and they'll get a sharp pain in their elbow. And that's because those forearm muscles are what are acting on your wrist. All you have to do at home is move your hands and fingers around and look at your forearm, and you'll see where those muscles actually come from. So that's another thing that people don't realize. Another thing that people don't realize is that when you have damage to the ligaments in the wrist, so there's a few different problems that you can have there that are more common, or not necessarily common, but somebody who's fallen with their hand outstretched and they might have had a fracture, they'll often have damage to the ligaments in their wrist as well. But because they've got a broken arm, everybody's focused there. But it's later on that we determine that there was tears in those little ligaments of the wrist that are causing problems later on. Or if you didn't break it, somebody says, oh, you sprained your wrist. That's a pretty broad term for something that can turn out to be quite complex and change what you can do with your hands. So very important to get it dealt with.
Yeah. So because we got a few people coming in via text on a 10, 12, 60, just asking in regards to your wrists, like, you know, there's the basic one. Okay. Can you move your wrist around, right? To see kind of how it's broken or not. But that's not, as you're going to tell you, that's not going to say that the damage to the tendon. So when someone says they have a sprained wrist, what does that really entail?
Right. So a sprain is what we're describing when somebody's got an issue with the ligament. That's the tissue that's the between the bones. Basically, you've got these structures that basically maintain stability between the bones. Then you've got tendons. When you've damaged a tendon, we call it a strain. So you'll hear the definition when somebody says they've strained a hamstring. You don't sprain a hamstring, you strain it. When you sprain a ligament, you sprain the ligament. That's little tears that form in the ligament. And there is a difference there. Now, the wrist actually moves in various, if you basically move your wrist up and down, like forward and backwards, it also goes side to side. And then what we call supinate and pronate. So it goes like you're saying, I need some money, or you're putting your palm down, palm up and down. So those are the six movements that you get out of the wrist. Each one of those movements can tell us something when we're assessing it. So as an example, somebody who's got a lot of pain with movement of their wrist, basically inward, and they're getting that pain right on the inside of their wrist. Yeah, exactly. Hockey players are common ones who can damage what's called the TFCC. And without getting into it, it's a damage of a ligamentous structure on the inside of the wrist. That's a common one. On the outside of the wrist, it's often the scaphoid. You know, somebody's had a fall, they've damaged either the ligament that's attaching to the scaphoid, there's a little disc in there that they can damage, or they may have sustained a fracture to the scaphoid. If you're listening to this show and you've fallen down and you're getting pain like at the base of your thumb and you've had an x-ray, you know, you might wait a couple of weeks to have another x-ray, because oftentimes those fractures don't show up right away. So just because the first x-ray is normal doesn't mean that it's not broken. And it's one that's very important to look after, because the scaphoid, that little bone at the base of your thumb, basically it's got a very poor circulation. It's got little, very small amount of circulation to it, and therefore it doesn't heal. And in some cases, it'll become necrotic and die, and you can have all kinds of problems. They got to take
it. Die?
Yeah, the bone dies. Yeah, it becomes necrotic.
I didn't know that.
So they take a little piece from your hip and they put it in there, and that's it becomes your new scaphoid.
Necrotic. Okay.
Yeah, you got it. So there's a good example. So I can't stress enough to people that if somebody says to you, well, you just sprained your wrist. You didn't just sprain your wrist. You should probably get it checked out and make sure that you rehab it properly. Sometimes we immobilize them, because the best solution early on sometimes is to take all of the stress off of it and let the tissue heal. And then sometimes it's quite the opposite. We want to get it moving right away. So it just depends on the injury. If you've broken your wrist and, you know, you're told, well, the cast is off, go at her. It's not that simple either. We can have real problems after a fracture in the wrist. You develop something like what we call capsulitis, same as a frozen shoulder, but you get it in your wrist. And the wrist can be very stiff, very painful. And if you don't get that range of motion back, you can have problems down the road. So great topic of conversation right now, because I think it's one of the areas that people don't talk about very much. And oftentimes it's like a sprained ankle. You'll just say, oh, I just sprained my wrist. But you know what? It's not that simple. And And you might be able to get around on a sore ankle for a little bit, but the hand plays a big role in all the things you want to do.
Grant Fedork from Leading Edge Physio joins us. Now, Grant, one last one. When it comes to, you know, snapshots, wrist shots, yep. Obviously a wrist shot, you know, you're formulating a lot of your strength from your forearm yep. and into your wrist. Lack of range of motion, how much is that going to impact velocity on a shot?
Oh, absolutely. So both wrists, by the way, everybody will think if you're right-handed, they're all thinking about your right wrist. But contrary to popular belief, the upper hand plays as much of a role in a wrist shot as anything because one's pushing and one's pulling. But range of motion is very important. Back to what I was talking about earlier about how muscles are strong in, you know, only in the area that we train them, you're also getting more strength. It's called the strength-length curve. And basically what that tells us is that the longer you've got, the longer the momentum that you can generate from a tissue, the more you're going to get out of it, the energy out of it. So the more range of motion you've got, look at pitchers. They make a long moment of arm. Their arm gets right back out there. They create a lot of force out of that. If you watch their wrist, it's also going through a full range of motion in order to generate that power. Put the full arm and wrist together and you've got a ball coming at you at 100 plus miles an hour. That doesn't just happen from flicking the wrist, right? And it also doesn't just come from keeping your wrist totally stagnant. So length and range of motion in all joints of the body, not just the wrist, are very important. And for a hockey player, absolutely essential. So he'd have been feeling that too if he had any limitation in his range of motion. Can't say. Didn't see him.
Grant, as always, man, we appreciate it. Great stuff. Have a great Merry Christmas to you and yours.
You as well, and to all your listeners. You guys have a great Christmas. Stay injury-free.